Goddard, thank God for putting that song in his heart. For I needed that. I've only heard my dad sing one song since he's been in ministry, and he sang that as well, "It Is Well, My Soul." Tuesday, I was up here, and God said, "Go see your daddy." He's been really busy and doing the things he needs to get done, and I know that. And I called him. He answered, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I just woke up." I said, "Can I come see you?" He said, "Come on." He's doing really well. But ever since then, I'm going to tell my dad as many times as I can tell him that he did it right, and he's going to finish well. Men, we might not always start out well, but the important thing is to finish well. Scott, thanks for singing that. That helped me more than you'll know today. Oh, golly. We're having a business meeting at the end of church Sunday. It's about our building and what we're going to do with it. So if you want to be informed and you want to be a part, and you want to know what's going to happen with our new addition to our church, then you show up Sunday night. We're going to have a business meeting, so be a part of that. We need all the members here that we can have, not for this or that, just where you'll know what we're doing in the future with our church sanctuary and the addition to our church, okay? So I want to just say be here for that. It's going to be Sunday night right after Awana, okay? If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the title of this message is, "I Can Relate." I can relate. I know one other announcement. If you've got the message for Sunday, I normally don't do this because I would have preached it tonight. Sunday morning's message is going to be so good. Brother Mike White will be back here, and he'll be singing with us in the morning. If you haven't never met him, he came here once before about almost a year ago and sang. Hey, he loves the Lord. He's humble. He can sing really good, but he sings for the Lord. It'll make a difference for you. He'll be here Sunday morning. But the message, if you know somebody that struggles in sin, maybe they get it right for a little while and then they can't get it together, this message will put it together for them. So if you got somebody, you say, "Well, what if I'm not that person?" Well, this is the thing. You need tools in your tool belt. So if you run into somebody or you can't get them to church, it's then we'll put some tools in your tool belt. That way when you're in front of them, you can say the things and minister to the need. Does everybody understand that? And does that mean this message is not going to be... I love this message just as much because I believe it's going to be effective for us as believers. And if you're not a believer, repent, ask the Lord to be your Savior, and let Him have the rest of your life. Amen? And that's always... And this altar is always open. This church is always open if God deals with your heart about salvation. Okay, Timothy's... 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Hopefully I got you there. If I didn't, I'll give you enough time to find 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I love this. Paul has a son in the faith. Now, I want to go about a million different ways with this, but I want to tell you that Paul loves Timothy. And if you don't know this, if you're in ministry very long, you're going to find some people that you connect with, that you love very much, and they're going to feel like family. Matter of fact, sometimes they're going to feel more like family than your family does, especially since you've gotten saved and they haven't. If they have got saved, then it'll make a difference to you. But if they haven't, then sometimes your family can feel like your church family can feel like more like family than your family does. Then especially if you're neglected in some area like Paul was. Paul didn't have a wife and Paul didn't have any children. So then God makes up the deficiency by giving him a child in the faith. God. Some of y'all, every once in a while it'd be all right if y'all just say amen or amen, that's pretty good. I mean, I'm just saying because you know what? God meets your deficiency, does not. Does some of y'all have some deficiencies and then God's made up for them and added to your life in those deficient areas? Man, if he hadn't, just wait, he will. keep ministering to broken people, he will. Amen. He will. And it's in the ministry that you find the people that complete you. You think it's going to be God's going to bring somebody who's already just wham, done, add water, done. No, it's the people that you don't even imagine. I mean, some of the closest people I have, when I met them, I thought their lives was a total train wreck. Same with some people who met me before I got saved. Ultimately, all of us were a train wreck before we met Jesus. Amen. Amen. Even if your train wreck didn't look as bad as everybody else's train wreck. I know some people's train wreck didn't look too bad. Matter of fact, when you look at their life, it probably almost, you'd already put a stamp on them and say it's pretty good. I'm always amazed. I'm not really amazed as much about the people who struggled in all kinds of addiction and trouble and prison and life beat them down that they got saved. I'm always saved by the person who never got too far away from the church that gets saved. I'm always, when they give their testimony, I'm sitting there going, man, how did you do it? Because sometimes, man, you can almost feel like it's kind of like that the prodigal son and the older son. You're lost within. And it's hard to tell that you're lost within. You can be lost within and not really be told on, amen? Because your actions are not much different than the people you're around. God just wanted to teach that. But Paul loves Timothy. You need to write that down and understand that. Paul loves him. And when you love somebody, you can tell them the hard stuff, the good stuff. You can tell them anything. But he tells them, I love this. He said, and listen, before I go on, I believe every minister, every preacher, every teacher, every Christian. Man, you can be a saved and not be a Christian. Did I just say that? That's true. Man, you don't have to be saved to be a Christian. Golly, some of y'all want to argue that right now. You'd want to wrestle me. You can be saved and not be acting Christ-like. Does that make more sense to you? Amen? Saved as you can be, but you're not a Christian because you're not acting like Christ. And nobody would ever mistake you for a Christian or a Christ-like person. Ooh. But I want to tell you this. I believe every one of you should have a good doctrine about you. Understand what you know. Believe it. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. Know what you know. Amen. Know what you know for yourself. Too many Christians today, 70, 60, 50, 40, raised in the church, went around the church, and if you ask them, church was good, and you say, what do you believe? You don't know.
Amen.
I just want you to get that, because there are some things that I took secondhand. I had some secondhand, almost like secondhand smoke. I had some secondhand Christianity. Amen? I don't really care what the book says. My preacher said.
Amen.
That's crazy. But listen, I want you to get this. Your doctrine should be good.
Amen? Amen.
But your behavior should be good. Amen? All right? Be holy for I am holy. You should try to be holy. Not because you want to, but because God's leading you to be holy. Are you all right? Amen? I know it's hard to live in 2018, somebody preaching holiness. We want to preach be well and prosper, do good, and you're all right. But sometimes, you know what? God wants you to live as close to Him as you can. Amen? But I love what Paul does here, because in that there is some discipline. He's going to get into that, but I love this. He said, be strong.
Amen.
In the grace.
That's right.
It's got a twofold purpose. Being strong in grace has got a twofold purpose. Number one is for you. Number one is for you. I'm going to be strong in my grace. And some of y'all are thinking, this is kind of a contradictory thing. Strong in grace. I like to break this down and kind of teach it. Strong in something you never earned or deserved. Y'all don't like to break down on that, do you? I don't either. Because I like to feel like I'm doing something great all the time. But then if I ever, for myself, I got to always remember the only reason I'm standing here, the only reason I'm in here, the only reason I'm in the family of God, the only reason I'm going to get into heaven is because of His grace. All my strength comes from my weakness, because I needed to find out that I was weak, that He was strong through grace to save me, that I didn't understand, that I didn't deserve it. Is that good? Is that good? Hey, you need to start. I'm telling you, friends, sometimes we need a good reminder, the church does, that we wouldn't be here without Him. Because sometimes we can hold people to a little bit higher standard, and we start laying down laws and getting people's faces and tell them what they need to do, and we forget that God gave us grace. There's the second fold part of this, is Then it's a second fold. Is one, you got to remind yourself how you got here. But then the most beautiful tool that you're ever going to use in ministry is the grace. You won't believe that, but I've been doing this for a minute. And I have won and seen more people grow in their faith and in their service to God when I've given them grace over giving them punishment or giving them exactly what they deserve. Man, y'all are a tough crowd. Y'all get plenty of work in this week? Are you tired? I get that. I understand. I ain't going to be mad at you. I'm just saying. But sometimes you got to dole out grace when you don't deserve it. Man. You know, one of my best friends right now, he was in our program, and we kicked him out and sent him down to a hotel to get him sent back home to Illinois. And God said, go pick him up. And I was like, oh, don't pick him up. He's an idiot. And if he was here, he'd let me tell you that. Amen. Jake's his name. He's a good friend of mine still this day. Amen. And he would tell you the same thing. And I just couldn't stand him. Amen. It wasn't a northern thing. It was just, he was aggravating. Sorry. But all of a sudden, he's going through that thing. And I'm like, man, and I go down there and I get him. And he goes, why are you bringing me back? I don't really want to, I'm going to come back. I said, because I'm giving you grace, man. Grace. A day before graduation, he pitches a big fit and goes crazy on me. And one of my favorite things to say in the program was, go pack your stuff. Sorry, I'm sorry. I was kind of bullheaded. That's how I deal with it. Sometimes you got to get, I know in the church realm I ain't very liked very much, but that's kind of who I am. I was like, go get your stuff packed. I'm tired of this. And he was up there in his room packing his stuff, getting ready to go. And I mean, he had one day to graduation. He's going into transitional living. I'm talking about this is going to be a tragic calamity in his life. But he's deserved it. I mean, deserved it. And I mean, he needs to learn his lesson. I'm down there writing this paper out, and I've called the people and let them know I'm getting rid of this guy. And his mom and dad finally got to the place, just send him out of there. We're tired of it too. And then I hear this still small voice. Give him grace. And I answered back, he don't want it. And still small voice, neither did you. I don't like him. It don't matter. He's not doing anything right. Yeah. Reminding me of yourself a little bit. Okay, Lord. All right, Lord. Okay, I get in my big 15-passenger van. I drive up there, and I get out, and I say, one word, one thing. He's out of here. Get out, and I say, just unpack your stuff. I say, anybody, a dog can make it for 8 hours. Just lay down in that bed, shut your mouth, and I'll get you to Dalton. You'll go into transitional living. Everything will be all right. I can hear it. I can feel it coming. Why? Because God wants me to do it. Well, that's stupid. You're right. It is. But can you shut up for 8 hours? He goes, I'll try. He went through the transitional living. One first month, 2 months. I went down there. I get down there, and my boss at that time, I walk in his office, goes, this guy is a real pain in the neck. I told you, God. We went down there for another meeting. Man, they talking about this and talking about that. What if this guy does this? What if that guy does this? And every one of my regulars, I got one who does that. I went, I know who they're talking about. But somewhere in about the third or fourth month, he sends me a message and he says, everything you did for me out of grace has changed my life. And he is one of the most solid Christians I've ever seen walk through addiction and with the Lord. He's made every meeting that he's supposed to make. He lived in transitional living. He stepped out. He's got a job. He's done it every bit right. And every time he talked to him, I say, why are you doing? How are you doing? He says, I'm doing good because of the grace of God. Because God loved me when I didn't love him back. You don't like this. You don't want to eat it sometimes. But I'm telling you, the greatest tool you'll have as a Christian is in ministry is the gift of grace. And when you don't want to dole it out, you'll have to give it to your kids. You'll have to give it to your wife. You'll have to give it to your husband. Amen. You're going to have to give it to some of your relatives. Even when they're not acting like they want it, you've got to give it. And it hurts because you eat it. Amen. Whew, could we stop right there? Just one verse. We can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because we're going to use this tool of grace on ourselves and on others, right? Oh, man, it's good. Are y'all ready to relate? These next parts I can relate. And the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to reach others also. I love this, man. You know what Paul does? Paul uncovers one of the greatest truths about the modern day church. He pulls back some dirt. Listen, sometimes the church can get weird. Sorry. We can be a pep rally, that we're always having pep rallies, but we never play the game. Oh, I don't like saying it, but it's true. Sometimes we can get into church, and if we don't get busy enough, if we don't do what God wants us to do in our individual calling, a lot of times when we come back into church too many times, we'll start finding fault with each other. Because after you have cabin fever long enough, anybody ever been snowed in? Man, first day it's great. Second day, let's play popcorn. Let's watch a movie. Let's play some board games. Day four, let's punch one another in the face. Amen? Okay, you with me? That's what happens if you stay in the house and you don't waste and you don't just wear out the gifts that God's given you on the purpose that He's given you. When you come in the house, you're apt to pick out the problem with your brother and sister and fight with them because you're not using that energy for the purpose that God's given it to you for. You sit here and go, "Man, I don't like the way they did that. I don't like the way she does that. I don't like the way he does that." It's just family squabble. But if you're worn out and beat up by the devil and you're coming in here for a word because you're thirsty and hungry and desire, you really don't know anything about the other person because your head's down, you're hurt, and you want something from God. Or you're so excited from the battle you just won, you're going to come in here and celebrate. That's okay too, amen?
Yeah.
And that's okay too.
Amen.
But I want you to get it. It's so beautiful. I love that because he says, listen, this is one of the keys to the church right here. It's one of the keys. He said, I've passed it down to you. You pass it down to somebody else. That's the whole key. He said, look, you've watched my doctrine, you've watched my attitude, you've watched me work, you've been with me, you've followed me. I've shown you everything that I can show you by words and actions and deeds, by example. Y'all don't like when I say this either, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't really give too much to people who talk a whole lot. I like examples. I like leadership by example. I don't like people who shoot off at the mouth about what they're going to do and then they have no resume of what they've done. I like examples.
Yeah.
That's what I like. Listen to this. He said, I've given you examples. Pass it. What I've given to you, give it to somebody else.
Amen.
Now listen to this. Faithful men, faithful women, faithful girls, faithful boys. Hand it down to them. And when you hand it down to them, they're going to do what you do. Listen, here's what it is. Don't let the ministry die with you. Don't let the church die with you. Listen, it ain't about us. It's about Him. It should excite you when you see somebody else coming up who is doing what you were doing with the same fire and the same desire. You should see somebody who comes up and maybe they have more gifts and talents than you. It's not a thing where you go, you're jealous. You say, man, praise God. God's given somebody some gifts, talents, and abilities, and He's going to use them to do more. I always go there when I start thinking about this. I think about Saul and David. God, y'all remember it, right? Saul came riding in. David was back. He was his chief of war operations. And he was whooping on, man. After David and Goliath, he was just whooping on. But they come riding into the city, the king and his chief of war operations. And they sang it. Man, it sounded sweet. The girls, woo! Never mind, I'm sorry. Terry, pray for me. Hey, but the girl, you know what the girls? The girls said, woo, Saul! Boy, Saul kills his thousands. I know, man. Saul's like, You know how you, come on, men. You men are like, oh, no, I make you thousand. You know, it make you ride higher in your saddle, wouldn't it? Kill 1,000. That's right. I think I got 1,000. Right? Oh, but that next course is a killer. Oh, David! He kills the 10,000. So I hate him. Now, I mean, man, he went from riding high in the saddle to low. I mean, he could be on an old swayback mule at this point. I mean, he's just gone. I mean, he's up, you know, way up. Or, you know how you've been. I've been there with Chris. Or you're up, yeah, I am the man. Until they introduce you to the man. Right? 1,000. 1,000 don't even look like nothing now. But instead of hating David and being jealous of that, he should have turned and said, wait a minute, that's 11,000 of the Philistine we could have destroyed, and we could have done that all week. Man, that's awesome. Before you know it, our enemy's going to be destroyed, and I get credit, and David gets credit, and God gets credit, and man, we all get, man, praise God, that's an awesome thing. Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to have to kill him. You might want to write a note right here. This is what happened to most churches I've been in over the last 10 or 12 years. People that do the same gifts, same talents, same abilities, hate each other and want to destroy each other instead of working in unison together and really do some great work. Instead, what they do is they all get together and they go down a quarter mile and start another church, and them same people are down there, and there was a split off of this church to that church, and they're doing what they're doing, and it's all because they couldn't work together.
Amen.
If we really get down to the tax of that, it's probably every church in America has done that. The real church, the church that believes in Jesus Christ as the only way into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to get that. I love what he does. He uncovers that. He said, we're supposed to be passing this on. If you're not training up somebody, if you're not showing somebody, if you're not leading the way for somebody, then guess what? Get busy doing it.
Amen.
I mean, just get busy doing it. It's okay. And they don't have to look like much, act like much, or talk like much. When you see them, you might not think much of them, but praise God. Warriors for Christ come in different kinds of packages. And I always tell you this, and I want you to get it. When I say warriors, don't you think God's warriors are totally different than what you think. Now, there'll be some lion-faced men. There'll be some men that can jump down in the lion's pit and whoop a lion, whoop six men one time. But most of them, man, are like little Shunammite women. Shunammite women. I love Shunammite. There's a gravel right there. I keep hitting it. It rolls across my foot, and I'm like, what is that? Shunammite women. It's like the women that, you know, that had a good plan before God showed up in their life. Remember, I don't mean to preach everything, but I like this. The Shunammite woman where, you know, she was sitting there, she was making, God said, go down there to the Shunammite woman. When you get down there, she's going to prepare and keep you safe until I call you to the next thing. And he gets down there and says, hey, God sent me down here. Wait, what's up? She goes, oh, me and my son, we're grabbing, I'm going to get some wood. He's going to get the fire, and next we're going to get together, and then we're going to die. God, never mind. That's one of God's warriors that he sends the man of God to. Her plan is eat and die. Right? But you might want to write this down. It'll help you a lot. God thinks more of you than you think of yourself. Sometimes when you're thinking really low and you don't think you're good enough, remind yourself God thinks a lot about you, because he thought enough about you to die for you on an old rugged cross and shed every bit of blood that he had to pay your sin debt. He loves you, and he thinks a lot about you. Amen? And sometimes even when you want to die, even when you want to quit, even when you want to give up, even when you want to walk out, even when you want to just think that there ain't no other way, God ain't going to make a way, he ain't going to open another door, he ain't going to make another opportunity for you, guess what? God's sending somebody, and guess what? It's going to be all right. You don't look like much to the world, and you don't look like much to the devil, but man, God is going to show out in your life. Never mind. If you needed that, you need it. If you don't. I need that every once in a while. Y'all must say, oh, man, preacher, I bet he just walks around, man, just cloud nine all the time. No, it's quiet. There's lots of valleys and lots of peaks, amen? God's, hey, but guess what? You got to remind yourself, it ain't about me, it's about God, amen? That's all you got to remind yourself of. Verse 3, therefore, now this is why I can relate, because he gives three people I can relate to. Two very well, and one I'm still learning, amen? So I'll say two out of three ain't bad. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldier. At one point. Amen? He goes, listen, endure hardness. Don't you? I love truth right up front. God says, guess what? Being a Christian is going to be hard. Amen? Now listen, there's peace in it, there's joy in it, there's fruit of the Spirit, amen? There's great stuff in it, and you're going to have great times in your life. But you're going to, as a soldier for Christ, if you're really going to fight some of the battles, you're going to have to endure some hardness.
Amen.
Listen, I want you to hear this. And sometimes it comes from the people that you never thought it was going to come from. Now, you had it, you had it strategic. You knew this person and you knew that person, but you counted this one and you counted that one as somebody you all can rely on. Man, I preach everything I know. You know what I'm saying? That'll be a good one no matter what. And that's the one that knocks you down the furthest. Amen? Can I be honest? But then the person you thought, God's cool like this, some person you thought, well, they don't this, that, you've kind of checked them off as, no, next thing you know, they're the ones kind of, they're the person who gets up under the cross with you and helps you carry it, and you didn't even know they existed. Amen? That's the kind of, right? They get up under there with you. The old boy comes into town for the Passover, and they throw him up under the cross with Jesus. God. Simon, right? Is that his name? Man, I bet he wasn't planning on that, was he? God, come on. Now, if y'all don't be careful, we'll get to preaching for real. They got him. They got him and threw him up under. I wish you could get this, but he's up under the cross with Jesus. You never thought you was going to get up under the cross. You never thought about it. But until you get under your cross and begin to carry it, you can't even see him. He gets a hold of it and he looks over and he goes, "Why am I here?" I feel the Holy Spirit all over me right now. You're here because I needed your help. But you're God. I didn't think you needed help. See, it gets better. I don't. But I like to involve you in what I'm doing. I want to use you even though I don't need to use you. It's just the way I'm going to do things. You're going to do things that I can do, but I like to do them through you. Even though you don't think you're smart enough, good enough, talented enough, and you ain't achieved enough, but you're still under the cross with me. And if you get here, I can use you. When you get up under your cross, at first it looks like a mistake. Feels like a mistake. It feels like I don't need to be here. Then after a little while, you start loving your cross, because the more you sacrifice and the more you give and the more you give to Jesus, the better you are. It's not about how much you get, it's how much you give. I bet Simon at the end, they said, "That's enough. You went far enough." I guarantee it, if we find him in glory, he'll probably say, "I wanted to go just a little bit further with him." God. That wasn't even supposed to be in there. I don't know if you know this or not, but that wasn't even supposed to be in the message. That's God. That's what we call a direct line. God just dropped a direct line in here. And if you don't, man, that is good. Some of you wondering why you're having such a hard time. Just look around. You'll see Jesus more in your suffering than your provision. The more you suffer, the more you struggle with your cross, the more Jesus will show up, the more relaxed, the more comfortable you feel. Praise God, the least you're going to see of him and more that you're going to hear of yourself. You'll hear I, and me, and look what I, instead of, man, look what he's done. Look what he's doing. Whew. Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself for the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." When you're a soldier, you're no longer a civilian. You got to follow the rules of the soldiers. Amen. You got the captains and the commanders, when they give an order, you got to follow it. No matter, listen, I'm preaching. It don't matter what's going on back at home. It don't matter what's going on with your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your wife, your kids. When you sign up and become a GI, which is government issue, guess what? You're government issue. That means you don't get to be entangled with everything that's going on in the world. When the order comes down, you got to follow the order until the order is complete. And then you can go check on whatever it is if they allow. Woo! Y'all don't like that, do you? But I'm telling you the truth. Guess what? That's how we're supposed to be with Christ. Our orders come from Him and Him alone. See, that's another reason the church gets bogged down so many times is we get caught up in all the other affairs that God had nothing to do with, and we get caught up in them, and we forget the order that God give us. Got to keep marching. Got to keep going towards that. And all the little stuff, they'll either work itself out or it won't. You can't rescue and save and make everybody. Listen, I love discipleship. I do. Listen, I love discipleship. I love hearing disciples. But guess what? You can't force anybody to be a disciple. You can't. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Amen? Some people just don't want to drink. They don't. They'll say they do, and they'll say they want this, and they'll say they want that, but they rebuff and rebuke every bit of authority in their life, and they're mad at everybody, and they're mad at the authority. And when you say, I want you to drink, they say, I won't drink. Sometimes you got to cut those wild horses loose. I'm sorry. It's just truth. Let them run until they get tired of running, and maybe they'll come back. And man, that's what the prodigal son... Well, I wouldn't get into that whole message, but I like it. No man that warreth to tangle himself. Verse 5. I can understand this too. God's so cool. Is God cool? He's the coolest you've ever seen. Look at this. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Athletes. Yep, God put it in there, and Paul did too. It's okay then. Ha ha! I was an athlete at one time. I'm still competitive, but my athletic nature is drifting far away. So go ahead and say something. Let me make a list of who said that. Since I've been a kid, if there was a ball involved, I wanted to play and I wanted to win. Amen? I'd knock my mama down to win a game. Whoops, sorry about that, Mom. You tripped. You pushed me. I don't know if it's true. Maybe we'll check the replay. So there ain't no replay in the backyard. Whoops. I'm sorry. Listen, if you're gonna play sports, you gotta be disciplined to play by the rules. If you don't play by the rules, they're going to kick you out. Amen? If you don't play by the rules in the game, they will kick you out. And if they find out that you played the game not by the rules, after a while they'll come and take your trophies away. Amen? So God says, if you're going to be like me. Paul must have watched some athletic events around him while he was in Rome. And he's like, man, these guys, they're very disciplined. They're running their course. They're doing their thing. They're playing by the rules and they're winning. Amen? Listen, there's another point coming. It's going to have a barb in it. I want to get you with it. God wants to get you with it. Because we all want to play. We all, especially us guys, we want to be involved in the game. We want to compete. Whatever it is, we've been competing since we were kids. I can spit farther than you. I can throw farther than you. And if he can spit farther than you and he can throw farther than you, then you're going to find out if he can hit harder than you. Never mind. Sorry. I guess I grew up in Polk County. I don't know if that happened here. But we've been doing that. Listen, he says, there's another thing, though. If you want to compete on any level, and I'm thinking he's talking almost about Olympic games, you've got to be willing to be disciplined in areas that you're weak in and you're not strong. Because guess what? You know what the enemy will do? If he finds out you're weak, he's got film on you, and he'll watch where you're weak at, and he'll keep running you to your weakness, and you'll fail every time. A good athlete, I can relate to this. A good athlete will work on his weaknesses more than his strengths. A good Christian will work on his weaknesses more than his strengths. Stop touting how strong you are in the area. Find out where you're weak at. Listen to some people and let them give you some feedback and let them tell you where you're weak at, where you can work at it. And if you don't want to listen to people, listen. If you don't want to listen to people, listen to the Word of God. It's a very good mirror. This is a mirror. Amen? When you're using it, it's a mirror. It's a sword as well, I understand that. But the only two people you're going to use this weapon, this sword on, is the devil and yourself most of the time. That's just true. If you don't like it, it's just true. It just cuts away at your own flesh most of the time. So it's a mirror. See where you're weak at. God will show you. He'll show you. He'll show you where you're weak. He'll do it through messages. He'll do it through the Word. I mean, man, and you know what? It takes real, real discipline. Real discipline. To hear that and then adjust. I know what I like to do when I first hear, like, I got a weakness. Never. Anybody? Shut up. Shut up. You don't know nothing. Right? Even to God. Have you ever got in God's Word? Let me give you an example. There's one of them in Proverbs. There's what, 31 of them? One for every day of the month. Every time you get out, you ever see yourself in it? And then have to close the book and go, I don't care what, I don't. Whatever, you know. It's in there, amen? The whole book's like that. Messages are like that. You ride down the road, you turn off, somebody's preaching. Next thing you know, they're preaching all over you. And something you don't do right, or you don't act right, or you some weakness and flaw in your system. Amen. Next thing you know, you're mad at the radio guy. Oh, preacher don't know nothing. He's probably First Baptist or something. There ain't nothing wrong with First Baptist, I don't reckon. We belong like the third or fourth Baptist. Anyway, go ahead. If any man strive, listen, that's athletes. I can relate. Now, this one's a little bit different. The husband that laboreth must first be partaker. Be first partaker of the fruits. Farmer. Farmer's got to do it right too. He's got to be disciplined. Amen. There's seasons to farming. You got to do all the work. You got to put the seed down. You got to do all the cover. You got to do all the staking. You got to do all the work. And guess what? After that, guess what? You're going to be the first one to take forth the fruit. You're going to take forth. You're going to see. Listen, if you don't plant it right, you don't water it right, guess who you're messing over? Yourself. Amen. Christians, a lot of times, man, we think we're doing this great and this great. And listen, the person we're hurting the most is us a lot of times when we don't do things in discipline and in order with God. Amen? I don't like that either. Y'all got quiet. Y'all even got tired, checked out on me. That's all right. I only got two more verses if y'all can hang on. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all these things. You know what he's saying? He said, listen, I gave you several examples. If you're going to be a good Christian, you're going to have to use some discipline in your life and do some things that are hard.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, do some. And what he's talking about is he's talking about self-discipline. Be strong in the grace. Have a good reflection of yourself. Find out where you're weak and where you're strong and work on your deficiencies. That way you, and because you're going to go through some hard stuff and your enemy, you do have an enemy and he will find out where you're weak and he will attack you there. So be ready. Listen, this goes army, athlete. Listen, God, y'all got time? Can y'all hang on there just for one? I mean, just one more point. Can y'all hang with me? You got your soldier, amen. You got your athlete, and you got your farmer, right? Farmer's got an adversary too, but athlete's got an adversary. You're going to play an opponent. The soldier's got an enemy, amen. As a farmer, your enemy is nature, amen. Okay, y'all understand? Every one of them, what you do is you practice. Military practices, athletes practice, and farmers, they practice for the worst case scenario that could ever happen. And they play war games and they play practice games to find out what you can and can't do. So when you get in the heat of the battle, you don't quit or you don't get killed or you don't get defeated or you don't lose your crop. Does that make any sense? There's some real meat right there, so grab hold of it and listen to it, okay? So we got all this going on and we're leaving here with our minds. We're going, okay, I got to get disciplined. I got to work on my weak areas. I got to be strong in grace. I got to pass on my ministry to people next. How can I do all this? Verse 8. All right, you good? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Okay, you got it? You know what he said? Jesus, everything I told you to do, look to him. He's done it already. Listen, he did it already. What? He went through the hard stuff. Listen, I'm preaching to you. If you're hanging with me right here, he did this. He done the hard stuff. He done the disciplined stuff. He fought the enemy. He won at Calvary. He is resurrected. If you go through that, you'll be resurrected.
Amen.
Don't let the enemy lie to you. If you're a born again, saved by grace Christian, you're in the resurrection. He can't really do anything to you. So start living your life as a warrior, as an athlete, or a farmer, and go after it.
Amen.
And don't be afraid.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation.